Would you please stand for the reading of Scripture? This week, as we mentioned earlier, our theme is purpose-driven. And one of the passages that was our focus was about being purposeful in prayer. And I invite you to hear these words of the Lord Jesus from the Gospel of Luke and the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 5. Jesus also said to his disciples, "Imagine that one of you has a friend, and you go to that friend in the middle of the night. Imagine saying, 'Friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' Imagine further that he answers from within the house, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. To everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Which father among you would give a snake to your child if the child asked for a fish? If a child asked for an egg, what father would give the child a scorpion? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Once again, this morning we've included in your bulletin some teaching notes, and I invite you to take those out and to follow along as we go through this message together. Sometimes people like me find it helpful to write things down as a way of engaging God's Word, and so I would encourage you to do that as we go along. At the beginning of Luke chapter 11 here, the disciples come to Jesus and ask him how to pray, and Jesus teaches them the Lord's Prayer. But it seems that Jesus wants to give them a little bit more help, a little bit more explanation about prayer, and so he tells them this strange little story. Imagine you've just gotten everybody to sleep, and while you're asleep, you wake up to a knock on the door followed by a familiar voice. And it's your neighbor, a friend of yours. He's had company come in the middle of the night, and he doesn't have any food for his guest. "Help," he says. "Help me. Give me something so that I can serve my guest." Now, maybe this story, as we're reading it, doesn't quite ring true to you. And maybe it raises more questions than any sort of inspiration. I mean, who doesn't prepare for their guests? Can't this wait until morning? And what's the big deal about getting up in the middle of the night to go and help one of your friends? Well, Jesus is telling this story in a day and age when people's houses were not like ours. When the family went off to bed, they didn't each go to their separate room. Rather, everyone slept in one big room together. From the youngest to the oldest, all together, there were probably even some animals in the house, depending on the time of year. So when this friend comes knocking in the middle of the night, awaking his neighbor, you can imagine the tension he feels. He's worrying about waking up the whole household. "Please leave," we imagine him saying. "I just got the toddler to sleep. Go home." But then that friend, that neighbor in need, continues to pound on the door. Why won't that neighbor just give up and come back in the morning? Well, because at that time, hospitality was a sacred obligation. And it was not something that anyone took lightly. This neighbor that was knocking in the middle of the night was truly embarrassed because a guest showed up unexpectedly and he had nothing to feed him. And so he bangs on the door, willing to wake up his neighbor's whole family if he has to meet the obligation of hospitality. And so we have this picture of a family inside. Shh! No! Go away! And a neighbor who continues pounding on the door only to met with, shh, no, go away, until finally, with all the pounding, the man inside relents and opens the door and gives his friend what he needs. And then Jesus looks at his disciples after telling this story and he says, this is what I want you to understand about prayer. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Well, what kind of a parent, he says, even a bad parent, would give their children dangerous gifts? If a bad parent will give good gifts to their children, he says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now, this parable is in our congregation-wide reading from this past week because we're on the theme of being purpose-driven, of understanding what our purpose is and what it looks like to live out that purpose in our day-to-day lives. And this reading is there as a challenge for you and me to be purposeful, to be persistent, even tenacious in our prayers. You know, when it comes to prayer, as it says in number one in the notes, my prayer is guided by my viewpoint on who God is and who I am. When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray up in verse 2 of chapter 11, he says, when you pray, say, Father. Now, the word Father that Jesus uses to address God is Abba. Abba is what a small child would call Daddy or Mommy. Now, if you've had a loving and supportive Daddy or Mommy, you've been truly blessed in your life. Thinking of God as your Heavenly Father, it might bring a smile to your face and comfort to your soul. And yet there are some people who find it difficult to think of God as father or mother because these words conjure up for them some very painful experiences. Some people have had fathers or mothers who were completely out of the picture when they were growing up. And they might picture God as a distant parent who's far removed from their lives. Some people have had parents that maybe were in the house, but they were so preoccupied that they weren't really present. And they didn't really care about the school projects or any of the details in the child's life. And these people might think of God as a parent who might be present in some way, but certainly doesn't care about me and my need. Some have had parents that were so demanding and so strict that growing up they felt like they could never do enough to please their parents. And they might think of God as that demanding, critical parent that is up there keeping record of rights and wrongs, ready to criticize every move. And then there are some who had parents that were even abusive. And they have scars for a lifetime. And people might be thinking if this was their experience of God as a God of wrath, and if anything bad happens to me, I'm being punished for something I've done wrong. Jesus shows us that our prayer is guided by our viewpoint of who God is and who we are. And certainly we would not pray to a God that we believe is absent or doesn't care for us. And we would not pray for a God that we perceive as being always unhappy, that we can never do enough, or even a God who punishes us for wrong. Jesus shows us in this parable that the God to whom we pray is not like any earthly parent. God is a loving parent, always and everywhere concerned for us. God's greatest desire, Jesus says, is for love and goodness in our lives. And this is such good news, because we often find ourselves in circumstances where we feel the need to pray, God, help me. It's the prayer that we utter when we've reached the end of our rope. God, help me. It's the prayer that we cry when things are at their worst. Help, help me, God. It's the prayer that we have when we're feeling desperate. God, help me. Now, you know, it takes some humility to come to that place where we ask God for help. As it says in number 2 in the notes, praying, God, help me, requires humility. Looking at this parable again, we realize that it's no small thing for this man to go over to his friend's house in the middle of the night and ask for bread when he might wake up the whole family. And it sounds so simple just to ask God for help for what we need, and yet for many of us, it's a great challenge in prayer. As I look at our congregation here at First Church, I know that most of you love to help other people. If someone were to come to you in the middle of the night and ask for your help, you would do whatever you could to help them. But if the tables are turned, you might be slow to ask for help. I mean, some of us cringe even thinking about having to ask for help. We're self-sufficient. You know, this starts at a very young age. We have a granddaughter that's about this high and about ready to turn 3, and she often says with confidence, "I can do it myself, Pap-Pap." And I realize how often I sound like that 3-year-old. I don't need your help, God. I can do it myself. Only to find later that, oh, what a difference it would have made had I trusted in the Heavenly Father. But when we come to that place where we humble ourselves before God and we say, God, help me, it opens the way for God to do things in our lives, to do things in our church that might not otherwise be possible for us. So Jesus wants us to see here that whatever we need, we should not shy away from asking God for help. And we know that God is strong enough and caring enough and compassionate enough to meet every need. Asking God for help is hard, not just because of our vulnerability when we do, but also because often asking God for help requires that we give God some space to work. Praying, God, help me, requires giving space for God to work. We all know that we live in a culture of instant gratification. I saw some great pictures of children and youth from our church in their Halloween costumes this year. And I have to say, Maddie Small, that one of the most creative was the one that you wore. Maddie was a vending machine for Halloween. Dressed up in a big rectangular box with all of the goodies on the outside. And if you pointed at the thing you wanted, I understand that the vending machine Maddie would pull out from under the costume and drop it in your basket, unless it was an Almond Joy, which is her favorite candy bar. And then you'd get a box of crackers or something. You know, Jesus encourages us to be persistent in asking God for what we need. He says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. And he promises us that God answers, that God opens doors, that God gives. But God is not a heavenly vending machine. And all of our prayers are not always answered in the way that we want or according to the time frame that we think God should answer. This reminds me of the story, the empty teacup that Henry Nouwen told. Nouwen was a great giant in the area of Christian spirituality, and I know many of you have read some of his books. And in this story, there's a man who comes to a spiritual director seeking for help. And the director invites this man to sit down at the table for a cup of tea. The spiritual director begins pouring the tea into the cup. And as he pours, he keeps looking at this man directly in the eye. And he keeps pouring. Looking directly at the man and pouring some more. And the tea reaches the top of the cup, and then the tea begins to flow out over the sides of the cup. And finally, this man, disconcerted because the director is still looking at him while the tea is flowing out all over the table, finally the man says, "Stop! You're making a mess!" And then the spiritual director, he stops pouring. And he sets down the teapot and he says, "Maybe like this cup, you are too full. Too full of your own opinions, too full of your own ideas, too full of your own stuff. Maybe you won't be able to have God answer your prayer until you give God some space to do that." When we ask God for help, we have to make room for God to work in our lives. And this posture of openness to God's work means that from that position, from that place where we are emptied, God is able to show us new possibilities and work in new ways in our lives. And then there is one more thing here, and this may be the most difficult thing of all. The prayer "help" requires patience. Praying "God help me" requires waiting. At the end of this passage, Jesus says, "Which father among you would give a snake to your child if your child asked for a fish? And if your child asked for an egg, which father would give a scorpion instead? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children," and notice these words are underlined, "how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Prayer is not begging an unavailable, uncaring, unwilling parent to help us. Prayer is connecting with our Heavenly Father who loves us, who knows us better than ourselves, and whose greatest desire for us is love and goodness. But to receive these gifts, often it requires waiting. To wait on God so that He can work through our situation. And waiting on God requires trust. But we remember that we are trusting the one who made us. The one who breathed life into us. The one who cares for us beyond what we could ask or imagine. Help me. It's a hard prayer to say. And it's a hard prayer if you really mean it. But when we do, whether we're shouting it out and stomping our feet or whispering it beneath our tears, we're inviting God into our lives and trusting God to bless us far beyond what we can even hope for or imagine. As you pray, God help me, remember who God is and who you are. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul writes these wonderful words of encouragement. And as we prepare to close this message, I want to ask that we could read these together and claim them for ourselves. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery to lead you back again into fear, but you received a spirit that shows you are adopted as His children. With this spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Sons and daughters of God, that's what you are. Blessed with the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit.